You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another episode of Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for everything Kings news. You'll notice the voice is a little different from what you're used to. If you haven't listened to the last couple of episodes, then you wouldn't know that our longtime host and our good friend Jason Ross has passed the torch onto us too. And we'll introduce ourselves in just a little bit. But before that, Jason, I know he is reluctant to pass this torch. He's been with you for the first 300 and something episodes that this podcast has been a thing. Really is the reason why the Locked On Kings podcast is as big and is continuing to grow and get better and better. A lot of that is because of him, but because of his duties as the program director at Sports 1140 KHDK, also works with the Sacramento Kings as a color commentator and really a host and the right-hand man to the play-by-play broadcaster Gary Gerald, also has his own show on Sports 1140 KHDK, The Lowdown with Damian Barling. He's spinning a lot of plates, and he was more than willing to pass on the Locked On Kings podcast onto us, not just because he wanted to get rid of it, but also because he believed that it was ready to take that next step, and we are hoping that we can take that next step. My name is Matt George. I am from Sports 1140 KHTK, also joined by Charles T. Hamilton, also from Sports 1140 KHTK, and we are going to be the new dynamic duo at times that will carry you through. Chuck, I know you're excited, just as excited as I am to take on this challenge.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Happy to talk some Kings every day.
So before we dive into everything trade deadline that's been going on.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody cares about. And that's
we're going to
tackle everything that we can. We're really going to make this kind of a two-parter. Today, it's going to be all about the Sacramento Kings. When you listen to tomorrow's episode, we're going to have a little bit of Kings in there, but that's mostly going to be in regards to the other teams, everybody else that have made all their crazy moves, especially when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, because I'm not sure if you've seen, but they traded away about 36% of the minutes played so far this season. That's how many moves they've made. We will talk about them more tomorrow. But before we get to anything trade deadline, we thought we owed it to you, the listeners who may not know us from KHTK, a little explanation as to who we are and why we are worthy of taking over Jason Ross's role here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll start with myself. My name is Matt George. I have been working with Sports 1140 KHTK for 3 years. I've been raised in Sacramento, raised a Kings fan, have spent my entire life around this team. I was very spoiled growing up with the 01, 02 Kings and really having winning be a major part of my childhood. Of course, we know how long of the drought the Sacramento Kings have been on for the past decade plus, so we're anxiously trying to get back to those times. But when it comes to Kings, there aren't too many people that can say that they've been around this team as much as I have, except for people that are born and raised here in Sacramento. So that's a little bit about me. I also host and work with Jason Ross very closely on Sports 1140 KHDK. Chuck?
Charles T. Hamilton. Yeah, man, just a huge NBA fan. Have been my whole life. I've had family up in Sacramento my whole life, so I've got some roots here as well. Just happy to be a part of it. And, I mean, I don't have the accolades that Matt just
not,
went over,
not an accolade.
But you know, I'm just excited to dive into some King stuff, especially today, man. The trade deadline was wild. I'm also a host here at KHDK, been here about 2 years, so we're all pretty plugged into the Kings and excited to get started.
Well, let's not waste any more time. The NBA trade deadline is my favorite sports day of the year. I said that on yesterday's podcast with you and Jason. Easily my favorite day of the year because there's really nothing like it. Because the NBA is such a star-powered league, you can't get the feeling and the anxiety and the chaos of a trade deadline quite like you get in the NBA because of how many stars and all the deals that go on, all the drama, all the personalities. There's really nothing like it, Chuck. It's just absolutely my favorite time.
Yeah, this one paid off, too. I mean, it's something I'm always excited for also, but there's a lot of times where it doesn't meet the hype. Last year, you know, we had the DeMarcus trade, which was great. It was fun, but it happened well before the trade deadline. This year we had Blake. That happened, you know, a week before the trade deadline. Today we had some serious moves that came in, you know, to quote Vin Diesel, fast and furious. You know what I mean? Of course I'm going to throw that in there. But it was crazy, man. And the Kings made some moves that aren't going to get you super excited right now, but for the future and understanding what their plan and where they're trying to go, it makes sense. And I think Kings fans should be pretty happy and pretty excited about the moves that the Kings did make today.
All day long, I've been interacting and receiving texts, tweets from different fans about how they feel about today. And the best way that I could sum it up before we dive into all the deals that were made and all the moves that were made, the best way I could sum it up is that today wasn't necessarily a good day for the Sacramento Kings, but it was a necessary day. And as we work our way through all the moves that they've made and our thoughts behind it, I think you'll start to kind of get an idea or an understanding of why we think that it was a necessary day and why the Kings, I believe, are still moving in the right direction. And ultimately, they did what they had to do. To me, I wanted them to approach this day with, we have a plan in place. We know what the plan is. We're not going to change up that plan. We're going to make these moves that correlate with what we're trying to do. And I think they absolutely did that. And it began with a trade that we thought was going to happen a couple of weeks ago. We first heard rumors that George Hill was on the outs and the Cleveland Cavaliers were interested. Everything died down. Then we thought maybe a third team's getting involved. All this has been snuffed out. Is this even happening? Well, all of a sudden, George Hill is on the move. He is heading to the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the many moves that they made. Ended up being a three-team deal, Charles, in regards to adding the Jazz to the mix. Ultimately, the Kings got Iman Shumpert and Joe Johnson. Iman Shumpert came from the Cavaliers. Joe Johnson came from the Cavs. You also got a 2020 second-round pick. The Cavaliers ended up with the services of George Hill, and then the Utah Jazz got Jay Crowder, who I'll talk about him definitely in a little bit. But ultimately, that move being made, the Kings getting rid of that contract, that George Hill contract, what did you think of that initial move?
It's a good move. I mean, George Hill underperformed this year, which is too bad because it seemed like a solid signing at the time. Looking back on it, they probably overpaid. Same thing with Jeff Teague and Minnesota. Jeff Teague pretty much set the market. It was a weird year for free agents, and we're going to see this offseason that there's just not going to be much cash to be spent by teams because of the last 2 years of spending with the cap spike. But, you know, George Hill, he didn't have a good season really yet. Maybe going to the Cavs will help, but it gets the Kings off of $20 million next year. Iman Shumpert, say what you will, he's a limited player, but it gives them a defender that the Kings don't have right now. They're either the worst or second worst after the Cavs defense in the league right now. So it's a solid deal for the fact that they got a defender out of it. They're going to waive Joe Johnson most likely. Hopefully one of these roster spots that they've opened up will go to Jakar Sampson like we talked about yesterday. But it, like you said, it's pretty necessary because it's also something that he clearly wasn't happy either. He had a little friction going with his, you know, lack of play, and so it had to happen. Maybe he helps the Cavs, who knows? But he also, as far as about a week ago, was ranked, I think, like the ninth worst defender in the league. So to get Iman Shumpert instead of George Hill, I'll take it. It works. And you also have Iman Shumpert under contract for at least one more year, maybe two. So it like I said, it at least gives him a defender on one of the worst defenses in the league. So it helps.
To me, no matter what the Kings got back, getting rid of George Hill's contract was a win. And that's not to say anything negative about him, because as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I've heard from most people who are plugged in with the team, from players themselves, George Hill has been a great mentor and great leader for a lot of the young guys in the locker room, guys like a Frank Mason or a De'Aaron Fox. However, he was easily one of the biggest beneficiaries, I guess, of the new TV money and the new TV deal. The Kings were paying him a ridiculous amount of money that I don't think he was ever going to be able to live up to, even if he was having a good year this year. They paid him number one guy star power money.
He had a great year last year with Utah, and people thought he was going to make a ton of money in the free agent market because of the TV spike and everything. And, you know, maybe last year was the outlier. Maybe he's just fine. Maybe he's just a fine player and not what they thought he was with Utah last year. So it's what the market dictated. And they were able to get him because that's what the market dictated. The market was slow. And look, we liked this the signing when they did it, partly because we thought it was a good asset for them.
Right.
And they didn't get a ton back for him, but they got something.
And let's not kid ourselves either. That's the kind of money that the Kings have to pay if they want to these players to sign, at least right now, once the team is good or starts winning, if that ever happens. That might change things a little bit. But as of right now, if you want guys like a George Hill to play in Sacramento, you have to overpay them. Why it's a win is because it didn't work out. That's not necessarily a fault of the Kings or a fault of George Hill. It just didn't work. So now you're able to... He's continuing to get that money, and he's going to go immediately to a contender in the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is hopefully a good thing for him. And the Kings get that off of their payroll. Yes, they're taking on a minimal contract, a small contract in Iman Shumpert, certainly not even close to the money they would have paid George Hill had he stayed here. And now you can look at that money as things that the Kings can do in the future. And I think that's ultimately the point of this trade deadline, Charles, is that fans want answers immediately, right? They want results right away. They look at trades like the Blake Griffin trade, for example, or even the Isaiah Thomas trade going to the LA Lakers, and they think, immediate results right there. I can see how that can affect the team today, right now. Fans have such a hard time wrapping their brain around moves that are made right now that hopefully have a positive effect on the future. And to me, this entire trade deadline, all the moves, all the roster shakeup that the Kings made, all has to do with the upcoming offseason. That's what it's all about.
Well, also, basketball is one of the sports, baseball a little bit, not as much as basketball, where you make moves because of money.
Yep.
It's not so much about what you're getting back as far as a player is concerned or a draft pick. Sometimes it's just about money. And look, George Hill has like $40 million left on his contract over the next 2 years because he's got a player option on that third year, and he's going to take that. There's no question, because he's not going to make $20 million from someone else. Again, it is what it is. It's not the greatest move in the world. I thought it was going to be a better asset when they first signed him because I thought he'd play better. But bottom line, they got Iman Shumpert back. For a team that's bad at defense, Iman Shumpert can help. And, you know, let's see. Let's just see if it does. Because he's sticking around, too. He's another guy with a contract that's a little inflated, and there's no way you're going to get off that money either.
Funny enough, this was the biggest move that the Kings made today, but
right,
it hasn't been the most talked about. And more fans are more interested and maybe upset by the second trade that the Kings made, which is just a straight-up young talent for young talent swap with the Toronto Raptors. The Kings traded away shooting guard Malachi Richardson to the Toronto Raptors for, and I'm going to butcher his name. I've been trying to get it day long as best as I could. Let's see. The last name is Caboclo. I think that's how you pronounce it. I've been struggling. Bruno Caboclo is I think how you pronounce it, a Brazilian player.
Sure.
I apologize if I've gotten that wrong. He was a guy that, quite frankly, I had to look up. As soon as I got that headline, I had to Google him and see what he was about. He's a perennial G League player, a small forward, true small forward. He's got a really good wingspan, considered to be pretty athletic. He was an experiment that the Toronto Raptors took a couple of years ago. Obviously, it doesn't seem to have worked for them, or we would know his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming over. Initially in that move, we thought, okay, he was just going to be traded away. Waived. So essentially, the Kings traded away Malachi Richardson basically for nothing, just to open up a roster spot. Well, now that they've made other roster moves in regards to Papianis, which we definitely are going to talk about, it appears that he's actually going to be sticking around. So ultimately, I guess best case scenario is you traded away a promising shooting guard who has been dealing with injury issues, for which also the Kings are completely log jammed at the shooting guard position, for a low risk, potentially high reward small forward. And that's a position that the Kings don't really have much in regards to their future.
And I mean, let's also, I don't know about high potential on Malachi. The other thing is, like we saw with Papianis, is they're making decisions as far as, okay, well, we've seen, you know, a year and a half out of these guys, and our decision is that they're not the future. Part of what we've talked about with these guys getting minutes, or, you know, Papianis in the G League, is not only will hopefully that help them progress and get better, it also gives the Kings a chance to see whether these guys can play or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the moves made today, apparently they don't believe in either one of them, which makes that draft class look pretty rough. But, you know, Scal's still kicking around down there. So, I mean, he can maybe save that draft class. But it's looked like a rough draft class for a year and a half now, and at this point, they pretty much admitted it.
So Kings fans are disappointed because they know they saw spurts before he got injured his rookie year last season of what Malachi could do, and they were hopeful that maybe he could still develop into something special. I think they've misconstrued the idea of what the Kings are trying to do, which is develop young talent. They still are. And because they traded Malachi Richardson away, that doesn't mean they're breaking away from that. However, they have, before the trade, they had 9 guys that you could point to that say these are young players that need to be developed. 10 if you want to include Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't really include him into that because I think he's reaching about his maximum potential. But 9 guys that you want to develop. I think that's about 4 or 5 too many.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the Kings had to decide who are they going to stick around with and continue to develop. And right now, I think we could easily say Buddy Hield, Frank Mason, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and De'Aaron Fox are the top 4. And the rest of them are kind of a coin flip. Guys like Justin Jackson, guys like Malachi Richardson. Ultimately, the Kings were never going to get much back from Malachi,
simply
because he hadn't shown enough to warrant getting a lot back, which may be a tough pill to swallow for us as Kings fans because we've seen what he can do, but ultimately the rest of the league is going to say, I haven't seen anything, so a G League player is maybe the best, maybe a late second round pick if you're lucky.
And Bruno is a classic 3 where Malachi is kind of stuck in between that 2-3 area.
He's a tweener.
Yeah, and they have plenty of shooting guards, like you said, so it is what it is, man. It's too bad. We'll see what he can become, if it's anything. Same thing with Papianis. But I think these moves were needed at this point.
But this was a move that was either going to happen now or in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not going to be a King next season.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. He was not going to be here in Sacramento next season because the Kings were going to have to make some choices. And unfortunately, he's the odd man out, not through any fault of his own, but like we said, there's a logjam at his position. And right now, there are plenty of other guys that are ahead of him.
And getting, you know, little minutes here and there, that's a tough role to thrive in. So it just, look, it had to happen. It did. I know Kings fans are upset, hurting, or whatever, because, you know, when you get a guy who plays well at times, you get excited and you become fans of his. But I think this was the right move for sure.
Let's switch gears. Let's go to the news that broke well after, a couple hours after the trade deadline, when we thought the Kings were all done and we were trying to figure out who they were going to waive, who they were going to keep, what does that mean for roster spots, does Jakar Sampson potentially get his name thrown into the bucket. That's what we were all hoping for after we heard the news that Bruno was expected to be waived. And then all of a sudden, we get this notification. I think Shams broke it, if I'm not mistaken, that the 13th overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft by your Sacramento Kings, one Jorgis Papianis, has been waived. The 20-year-old big man, 7-footer, who Vlade was enamored with for some reason in the draft. He really tried to sell, like a used car salesman, really. He really tried to sell us on the fact that this could be, in freezing cold takes on Twitter, retweeted this, got a hold of this, that he was the next Marc Gasol. Well, yes, he's still young. Yes, he's 20 years old. Ultimately, he didn't even come close to even sniffing any of that potential that Vlade pegged him to have. And this was a move that I'm glad the Kings made. I think it needed to happen. Papianis, in my opinion, was probably the biggest mistake that the Kings have made. Yes, the 2016 draft was a very, very bad draft, and it's not like there were that many people that they could have taken instead that would be superstars here in Sacramento. But Papianis was a long shot in the dark to begin with, and it only got longer and darker.
I'm sorry. It was a terrible pick. It was, and I didn't understand it when he made the pick at 13. If you were going to go, you know, a foreign center, it should have been Zubac with the Lakers. But, you know, Papianis was a guy who was consistently rated in the late 40s, early 50s almost rankings as far as prospects went. It just did not make any sense. And it, you know, might be like a half a year too late, to be honest. It just, I understand he's young and he's big, but it just, it's not there. It hasn't been there. He hasn't played well in the G League even. You know, he's been fine, but when you go to the G League, if you're looked at as an NBA player, you should dominate.
Yep.
And he hasn't done that down there either. So it's just, it's too bad. It's a big miss for Vlade and the Kings. And, It's something that happens. And you trust your front office when they make a move like that. You say, all right, well, I expect that they know something that I don't, because it's their job to do that, to know these things. And clearly they were wrong. Over under 500 minutes played for Papagiannis in the NBA.
Well under.
Close. But it is under, but it's 473. I was a little surprised by that.
That much, huh?
Yeah. Good for him.
About 400 of that is probably
yeah,
in the garbage.
Yeah, seriously.
But
400 too many.
So to me, the eye-opening part with Papagiannis, the moment where I don't want to say I gave up on him, but I pretty much lost all interest and hope. And yes, everybody is using, I've been very surprised. I've been battling with a lot of Kings fans on social media over the past couple hours who are, I guess, Papagiannis apologists that are surprised thinking, and here's what they're more upset about. They're not upset that the Kings have given up on Papagiannis specifically. They're upset that another first-round draft pick has been wasted. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that, but for those who are arguing specifically in the case of Papagiannis, all they can give me is the fact that he's 20 years old and 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
that's literally all that they can give you. What was eye-opening for me was that last year, he spent his entire rookie season in the G League and then up working in practice. He was at almost every single practice, and you can see him almost before every single Kings game working with guys like Kosta Kufos and Harry Giles and the coaches. Every single game, he was working, and that goes back to all of last season as well. And he got into the Summer League this summer, and he looked completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets onto this roster now. He spends some time in the G League. He has good numbers at times, but doesn't fill anything up like you said an NBA starter or an NBA expected player should do. And then, on top of that, you have Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal Labissiere, who are hurt for a period of time, and you're resting multiple veterans a night, including guys like Zach Randolph. And he's still not seeing the court in the final 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see what goes on in practice, but what does that tell you? That tells you he's not even close to NBA ready.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is the game is going away from players like him. Look, size is great, but you better be able to run the floor in today's NBA.
Right.
And I don't know if you've seen him run the floor. It's not pretty. Or swift
Which
or anything.
Which is why Jakar Sampson makes so much
sense,
right?
Exactly. So I feel for Kings fans as far as the, like you said, it's not that they're Papagiannis fans or anything. It's just the fact that it's another wasted first round pick that they're getting nothing out of. It's official now. They're not going to get anything out of this pick.
See, but to me, as negative as that is, and I understand that frustration because the Kings really, from this point on, even going back to last year's draft, they can't afford to miss again.
Yeah.
Like, they just can't.
And credit the Kings for moving on. I mean, I understand the being upset about it, but credit the Kings for saying, you know what, we made a mistake a year and a half ago taking this guy. Let's move on.
Right. But to me, this pill is easier to swallow. And I recognize it as one of the biggest mistakes that Vlade has ever made. However, I think it's outshined by moves like, for example, the trade in regards to Marquese Chriss, sending Marquese Chriss to the Phoenix Suns, which ultimately resulted in the main piece you got back was Bogdan Bogdanovic. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you right now that every GM in the league would take Bogdan over Marquese Chriss right now,
mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, that's a clear win. Also, he's drafted Willie Cauley-Stein, which has turned out to be a pretty solid pick. And he also drafted De'Aaron Fox that were very hopeful. And we don't even know about Harry Giles yet.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Giles is expected to be someone that could become one of the best players on this team once he is healthy. So we just don't know. But what we did know was that this guy was not NBA ready and he was not going to work out. So I applaud the Kings for, you know what, I don't care that he's 20 years old. I don't care that he's under contract for another couple of years. Cut your losses now. Open up that roster spot and give it to a guy that really deserves it, that can help your team right now.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I understand where Kings fans are coming from, though. Today's a rough day. Today's a rough day, and it's tough to look forward and see that.
But we don't know if it's a win yet.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be a win next summer. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, patience. I hate that word. But
I know, seriously.
That is the word that surrounds the Sacramento Kings. Patience, patience, patience. I know it makes Kings fans want to pull their hair out, but we genuinely will not know the aftermath, the fallout from this trade deadline until minimum next summer.
Yeah, at least.
So I just want to set expectations for that.
Yeah, and that's why it's tough, because it's going to, like you said, patience, man. It's one of the most annoying words when it comes to sports, but that's what it's going to take to find out whether these moves were right or not, helpful to the Kings or not.
Well, that's going to conclude our first ever episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, hosted by myself, Matt George, and that is the voice of Charles T. Hamilton. How things are going to work, a lot of the times it's just going to be either myself or Charles with you, but there are going to be some episodes from time to time where the two of us are together. Also, for you Jason Ross fans, don't you worry, he will be in with us and will join us. I don't want to say frequently, definitely infrequently. We're going to get him on. We're going to make sure he spends some time and talks to us. Also, I look forward to plenty of guests, plenty of new content. A lot of stuff is coming, and it begins with tomorrow's episode. We're going to run through all of the other trades that happened in the trade deadline and also preview the Sacramento Kings and the Portland Trailblazers from the Golden One Center. So until then, we thank you so much for joining us again. My name is Matt George, joined by my partner, Charles T. Hamilton. We look forward to joining you more in the future here on the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.